And DeRussia Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and by Certix. I'm so glad to have our next guest in studio with us, the founder, the maven, the queen of coffee. It's Lee. Have I missed any of your other titles?
I think we can stop there.
That's enough.
That's probably enough. Yeah.
The queen bean, Lee Wallace from Peace Coffee, is here. Lee, it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
Coffee. Well, how long have you guys been making coffee in Minnesota?
We have been making coffee in Minnesota since 1996. So we have been at this for a while.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. But when you're caffeinated, you can stick with things.
Right now, is that the key?
Yeah, that's it.
When you guys started, when I first met you and first started covering you, you were really a pretty small operation.
Yeah, yeah. We got our start here in Minnesota, and for a long time, we were very much a regional brand. And as people have learned more about coffee, about premium coffee, we've really seen that space grow, and we've really been able to grow into a national business as consumers' tastes have changed.
What was the biggest factor for you in getting over the hump from being, you know, I think a lot of Minnesota businesses sort of struggle with this,
yeah,
where you're like doing good and you're kind of cute.
Yeah. Yeah. But we are kind of cute. I would agree with that.
You're
too.
Very cute. Yeah. But how do you get big?
You know, I think the key for us was we really worked to differentiate ourselves from some of those other super premium brands that can come across as very preachy, very, if you don't make your coffee the right way, you're not elite enough. It's very much trading on elitism, and we're very much trading on impact, fun, meeting coffee drinkers where they're at, learning about what they like, and saying, great, we're going to help you make this excellent cup of coffee.
You started really trying to support farmers, and this was a hot trend for a while. I think a lot of I love coffee, so I do care that the farmer gets a good price for the bean. Today, I do worry if coffee is going to continue to be affordable for people because climate change, and just there are only certain areas that are really perfect for growing coffee beans, right?
Yep. So there's a belt around the equator, and that's the region that coffee can be grown in, which is why, for example, we can't grow very much coffee in the United States. There's only a very small amount of coffee in Hawaii and a very small amount of coffee in Puerto Rico, and that's it. So yes, that is a limited area that coffee can grow in. And as a result of climate change, we're seeing weather events begin to impact harvest. And as weather events impact harvest, premium coffee is becoming more scarce and more expensive.
Coffee prices, and I think we've seen it, you know, anybody who goes to the grocery store to buy their beans has seen, well, first we saw the packages shrink from
the
16.
Hey, not Peace Coffee.
No, well, you guys
are. Yeah, we had to go from 16 to 12.
You went from 16 to
12. Yeah, we had to.
But you didn't go to 10 or.
No, we are 12 full ounces. You know,
you had to go smaller because
we didn't fit on grocery store shelves.
Right.
So
the shelves are a certain height.
Shelves are a certain height, and you can't fit a 16-ounce bag of coffee anywhere but the top shelf.
There was only one locally for a while. Up Coffee hung on to 16, but they've gone to 12 too.
Yeah.
Same issue. You can't fit on a shelf.
Well, and I honestly, it's also hard. You know, I don't want to run around talking about everybody else's package size. I want to talk about, you know, our coffee.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so I don't want to constantly be pointing out, you know, they're selling you less coffee for the same price. Right.
But
that's right.
But I notice because I buy a lot of coffee and certainly like at the ultra premium level.
Yep.
They start to go into like, I don't know, instead of ounces, they're packaging
in grams now. Yeah,
like,
I saw that. That's
when
it.
I see a gram, I'm like,
I'm out.
All right, you're trying to screw me here in some way.
Yeah.
But it's not just trying to screw you.
No.
It is the reality of the cost of the beans is just going up.
The cost of the beans is just going up, and it's universal. It's across the board. It's every single coffee company is being impacted by this. And so, you know, we're working to figure out how
and then
we
tariffs on top of it could be another factor.
Yes, we have started to see tariffs. So we're starting to see tariffs impact the coffees that we are buying.
How does it work? Lee Wallace from Peace Coffee is with us, based here in Minneapolis. You see them all over the world. I buy Peace at my Lunds and Byerly's. But are you at Target still?
We have great business with all kinds of different retailers,
Cub,
Target, Kowalski's. Yeah.
I always like when I see your coffee on the shelf. It's like,
I know.
Remember when they were delivering on bike?
Like, we still are delivering by bike.
Not all around the country.
No,
by bike,
not, no,
yes.
No way. Yeah. We don't claim that. We are available at a variety of retailers for sure.
I read the latest government based data shows ground coffee in March hit an all time high of $7.38 a pound retail price. Up from $4.30 in 2020. So almost not quite doubled, but.
Yep. And we have seen consistent. So we saw the price of coffee raise.
But you haven't doubled your prices.
No, we have not. We have to work on, you know, can we develop different blends that help manage the cost down? I mean, we're doing a lot of work on our end.
That's what I wondered, because like over the years, the cost of coffee at the wholesale bean level, at the ultra premium level, has skyrocketed.
Yep.
And you guys have, you've gone up in price, but like not to the degree.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that we have going for us, and I think you noted this earlier, we have always been focused on win-win partnerships with the coffee producers that we buy coffee from. So for years of being very responsive to what's going on in coffee growing communities, we're now having our partners come to us and say, hey, guess what? I have a really low interest rate in this country, so I can hold that coffee for longer for you. And, you know, we can see if the market comes down. I mean, there's just, these are true partnerships that we're developing. And so that you're seeing that reflected in how we're able to do business.
If you have coffee questions, you can text in at 651-461-9226. Now, you mentioned the bicycle delivery.
Yeah.
And there are actually, I got in my email an email about this today. Your two bikers, Eric and Eric.
I know. Well, we only hire Eric's apparently.
Yeah.
Yep.
1C, 1K.
Yeah. Yep. That's how we keep them. That's how we keep them straight.
Your data says they pedaled 5,780 miles in 2020.
Yes.
That's crazy. So they're doing deliveries to local coffee shops and local co-ops and that sort of stuff?
Yep. Yeah. We are going to food co-ops. We're going to offices. We're going to the University of Minnesota. We're going any place that we think it's reasonable for us to deliver coffee by bicycle. Our bike delivery folks are still out there every day of the work week, delivering coffee right into people's hands.
When you look at coffee and the coffee drinker, have they changed in their tastes at all in your time working with Peace?
Yeah, I think there's more people who have gotten used to the taste of premium coffee and the development of that, the natural sweetness that we can bring out in the coffee. There's more people who have grown accustomed, and we have not yet seen a lot of people trading down because you develop a taste for it, right? And all the consumer research shows that people are still saying, this is my affordable luxury. I maybe won't go to the coffee shop. I bought nice brewing equipment during COVID, so I'm just going to brew my coffee at home and I'm still going to invest in a nice bag of coffee beans.
What is the number one thing that the average person who's just buying ground coffee at the store now, the number one thing that people could do to have it be better? So wait.
Yeah.
Tell us in a minute. That's a great tease.
All right.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I'll wait.
You're ready.
Yep.
You'll wait. All right. Lee Wallace from Peace Coffee is going to wait. I want you to wait too. DeRussia Eats continues. We're talking coffee. And you can text your questions. Already a couple coming in at 651-461-9226. DeRussia Eats, we carried over into one more segment with Lee Wallace from Peace Coffee, right here in Minneapolis, but they're all over the country. So she has really a front row seat to all of the trends that we see everywhere. Lee, before the break, I asked one thing that you think people could do that would make their coffee taste better or be better. What would you recommend?
So the first thing I'm going to say is we do teach Mastering Coffee at Home classes. And if you have a Mr. Coffee that you got from Goodwill, or if you have a $3,000 espresso machine, you can come to this class and work with our head barista, and he will help you figure out how
That's
to work
cool.
with your machine and produce a cup of coffee that you like, because there isn't anything
That's
subjective.
Right.
I mean, there isn't anything objective to what is a good cup of coffee.
We all like different flavor profiles.
Absolutely. So in general, what I would say is, and, you know, probably, you know, members of my team might have different opinions, but I think a lot of coffee brewers don't bring the water up to a high enough temperature to adequately brew your coffee. And so I think the number one thing you could do, whether it's buy a really simple ceramic pour over That you can probably find for $15 and some filters and use a kettle.
It's like what you camp with.
Yeah.
Like Minnesotans who go camping. That's it's the same idea.
Yeah. Yep. But a lot of inexpensive coffee brewers just don't get the coffee hot enough to adequately create the proper flavor in the cup.
For a while, I was using a kettle and doing a pour over. Yep. Now I have a brewer that does get up to like 208.
Yep.
So that's like, I like it to be between 203 and 208.
Yep.
This is the sort of nerdy talk that makes people say, like, Jason, can't I just go to the gas station?
And you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah. I go to the gas station to get coffee too. Like, I like all of it.
Yeah. It's like anything else that people get nerdy about, right? I mean, I sometimes drink boxed wine. I sometimes drink really nice wine, right? Yes. Yeah. There's no shame here.
Texter says, add a tiny pinch of cardamom to the coffee.
Ooh, yum.
That's nice. You guys make K-cups, right?
We do. We call them EcoPods. They are fully compostable. So that is another option that we have out there. We have our Tree Hugger Dark Roast Blend and our Birchwood Medium Roast Blend.
What is your most popular blend?
The Birchwood blend is our most popular blend.
Does that surprise you that has stood the test of time, really?
Well, I mean, I think for those of us who have been involved in the food scene in Minneapolis, it might harken back to a now closed restaurant. But I really think people like the word breakfast blend.
Yeah.
They know what they're going to find in that cup. I also think that is just a really good universal pairs with anything cup of coffee.
It's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it's a super crowd pleaser. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I'm a light roast guy.
Yeah.
And you brought me.
I brought you, our newest release, Party Animal, light roast coffee here.
And I mentioned before that some companies retreating from pride and not being as vocal. Not Peace Coffee, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We have always said that, you know, pride is a reflection of the fact that we are a fun-loving company, right? And so that's what we're doing.
Why not? Yes.
Yeah, we're celebrating.
Lee, I love seeing the success. Go try Peace Coffee. Thanks, Lee.